So it's an honor. Well, today I'm going to bring something that's going to be a little different. It might make some of you mad and say, what is he trying to do, promote cars and trucks or something, you know, but I'm not. But I am going to use an illustration today that's going to show you something. Hopefully you'll get that image in your mind, and it will change your walk with the Lord somewhat. And it's called appearances. How many of you know you cannot judge a book by the cover? You cannot judge a person by what they look like, because how many times do you know that you're wrong? You saw something in a person or saw something about a person or even maybe heard of something about a person, but when you met that person in person, it was like, wow, that's not them. That's not what was portrayed to me at all. Well, I want to talk to us today about appearances, of things that we need to look at and not let appearances make our decision and form things in our mind about people and things and whatever it is about you that you would form in your mind, because we need to be open-minded somewhat. And I'm not trying to get liberal on you, but I do want to tell you that we need to look at things a little different sometimes. I remember watching America's Got Talent, and they had this little girl came out, and she was about 10 years old, maybe 12 at the time, and she was just as cute as a button. I mean, she came out there just, you know, she just prissed out there on that stage, and they give her a mic, and it was like, now what is she going to do? She's so prim and proper. And when this little girl opened her mouth, she popped that microphone up, and when she sang, she sounded better than the best opera star I have ever heard in my life. Some of you may know her name. I forgot it, what it was. But she can sing. I mean, she raised the rafters on that roof, and it was like her appearance does not line up with what's inside of that little girl. And that happens to all of us. Has it ever happened to you? Yes, if you be honest with me, it probably has. Now, I did preach to the first group that was here this morning. None of them threw bricks at me. None of them died. They're okay, so everything's all right. So y'all can say amen or woo or boo. I'll take a boo once in a while. Just let me know you're there. But nevertheless, God is good, and he wants us to look at things different. And I want to challenge you this year as Christians to begin to look at things differently. See what you can see that may change not only your life, but it may change someone else's life at the same time. We have had a lot of funerals this week. Janice, my wife, her sister passed away. Janet Taylor's sister passed away. Wesley, y'all know Wesley that sits over here, Wesley Cannon with the cane, he comes in. He passed away this week. And also Carrie Avera lost her dad this week. They're going to do the funeral today. So there's been a lot going on. I've gone to a lot of funerals and done a lot of preaching this whole week with people that are hurting and suffering. But every one of them that I know are Christian people. And that's the easiest ones to do a funeral for, because you know where they're going. Amen? We're sad that they're gone, but God's glad that they're with him now. And that's what it's all about, because we all need to know that this is a journey we're going on. This is not our home. We're passing through this thing called earth. But while we're here, we want to take lessons like I'm going to give you today and take that to heart and say, you know what? I need that in my life. I need that. I need to look at that and see what I need to do to change my life. We just sang a song a while ago. When Jesus comes into the room, he changes everything. Everything. And I have learned in the last 35, 40 years that I've been a Christian, I desire to come to church, to come here to be changed. If I come and something has not challenged me or changed something in me, I feel like I haven't done anything. But I have learned that when I come, I'm going to come to get, but I'm going to come to give too. And I've come to change something in my life and let God do something different in me. So I want to talk to you about these scriptures today. It says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made to reflect God's appearance. The key thing that we need to know in our lives is we need to reflect what is in our inner man, if it's Christ. And by the way, even if it's not Christ, you're going to reflect that out to somebody. Somebody will look at you, and not to judge you, not to look at the appearance, but they will know what's inside of you. The physical appearance and beauty, outward appearance. While it's great to look at both inside and out, God's view of us is what God thinks of us. You ever think about what God thinks about you? You know, we all got our own opinion about ourselves. And you that are married, you know, your spouse will tell you sometimes what she thinks or he thinks about you. And sometimes it's not the same page that you're on. Can I get a better amen? You know, it's not. But you know why they do that? They do that because they love us. And they want to see us change. They want to see us progress and be better than what we've ever been. First Samuel, it talks about God was going to anoint a king. And he told Samuel what to do. And he said, go. And listen to this. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at his heart. God told Samuel, I want you to go to this house, and I want you to anoint this man that's at this house. I'll show you which one when you get there. And Samuel goes, and he's there, and he calls for the man to bring his son forth. He's a big, tall, handsome guy. He comes in, and God says, that's not him. So he asked him, he said, do you have any more sons? He said, yeah, I have five or six. He said, call the next one. So the next one comes in. He looks at him, and God says, that's not him. And he goes down through the whole row of them, and he gets to the last of all of them, and he said, well, that's not it. What am I going to do? And God says, ask him if he's got any more sons. So he asked him, he said, do you have yet another son? And he said, I do. He's in the fields with the sheep right now. And he says, can you get him and bring him in? And he said, sure. So he sent after him. And he said, but I'm not sure you want him. He's not king material. He's a shepherd. He's in the field. He's dirty. He's ruddy. He's probably not going to be a good king. And Samuel says, get him. So they get him, and David comes in. I'm paraphrasing this. David comes in, and God says, that's him. That's him. God does not look on the outward appearance. He don't care how tall, how good looking, how much hair you got or not have. He does not care about any of that. He wants to know what is inside of you. And he saw something in David because he knew that David was a man after his own heart. And David, I believe, was a very attractive young man. I think he was a handsome man. But yet he was not king material, but God made him a king. Amen? How many of you have been made into a king? My Bible says that we're king and priest in God's eyes. That's what he looks at when he looks at you and I. And if he does, then I need to live up to the standard that he's called me. Not by what I look at, not by what you look at and what I see in you, but by what God sees in all of us. Amen? That we need to start standing on that and saying, this is what God made. And if this is pleasing unto the Lord, then I'm going to live out my portion of it. Amen? It's different when you do that. It says your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. God doesn't look about at all of that stuff. He doesn't care how you dress. I mean, thank God that we got clothes. Thank God we got makeup. All the women say amen. You know, we got makeup. I've seen women without makeup, and I agree with the Word of God. It might be a sin not to wear makeup. I know, I'm getting in trouble. But it's like, thank God we got that kind of stuff, but that's not us. That's things that we put on. But the thing that God is pleased with is the things that we have in that we put out. That's the big difference about all of our lives, whether you're male or female. Matthew 23, this is what Jesus told the Pharisees. And y'all know the pomp of the Pharisees. They used to wear with their robes and put their tunic hats on and whatever you call them, but they were all dressed up. They looked great when they came out. They were all like they're supposed to be. But listen to what Jesus said. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. That was the Pharisees. That was the people that were supposed to be godly people. And that's what Jesus said. In fact, he even says, you're a brood of vipers. He said, the devil is your father. That's what he called people that were dressed up. And I'm not saying that we need to call people that's that way, but we need to stop and call things as what they are. Amen? And if you don't take honor you shouldn't take honor in glorifying what you see on the outside. You need to glorify what's on the inside of people. And y'all know the story. It goes on and on about those kind of things that Jesus told us. It's not what's outside, it's what's inside. It says, beauty about the appearance. It says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You know, I thank God when I see godly women and godly men that you can see that purity. You can see that quiet, gentle spirit that's within them. And it just naturally makes you want to say, Lord, thank you because you did that. That's you living in that person. And I praise you for that. Lord, I give you glory for what you're doing in your children today. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. You know, we need to know that we're preparing not only for this life, but the life that's coming. And we need to have that beauty inside of us growing. That spirit man that lives within every born-again Christian, we need to feed that, the Word of God. Feed that with prayer. Feed that with fellowship and let that begin to grow and go inside of you that it would come forth and break forth from you, that people would see that. That's where we're going to go. The Bible and its beauty. Listen to this. This is taken out of the message. It's 1 Timothy 4. It says, you've been raised on the message of the faith and have followed sound teaching. Now pass on this counsel to the followers of Jesus there. And you'll be a good servant of Jesus. Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. You can count on this. Take it to heart. This is why we're throwing ourselves into this venture so totally. We're banking on the living God, the Savior of all men. It's good. I mean, we need to come to that place and understand that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we need to take care of this temple. I want to challenge you. Make you about eat the right things. Do the right things. Exercise. And Janice and I talked about doing that today on the way here. And we'll probably do it Monday and probably quit just like everybody else. But we're going to try. And I told her, I want you to challenge me because I need to get some more flexibility in my legs and my back and things. Because every now and then, one of them wants to lock up. You know, you get that, I'm coming, you know. And you'll finally get it around there. But we need to do that. But we need to take care of our physical bodies and our appearance, you know. God bless you. Get up. Brush your teeth. Comb your hair. Put something on. Put some good smelling sauce on. Do all that kind of stuff. But the main thing is, that's important that you do that. So these people will let you be around them. Amen? You got bad breath, you're going to slay somebody. And that's gator breath. That's not good, you know. But put on holiness inside of you. Put the Spirit of God in you and let that come and so permeate your spirit, man, that when people get around you, they will be drawn to you. They will come to you. A lot of times they'll come, they may tell you all of their troubles because you're the only Savior that they can see right now. They see Jesus inside of you, and they know if they can get close to Jesus, even lost people know if they get next to Jesus, there will be something good happen to them. And they may come and get around you and say, what is it about you? What is it that you do? Do you go to church somewhere? Why do you speak like you do? Why is it when everybody else in this workplace goes haywire when troubles come their way, you're so cool, calm, and collected? What is it inside of you that does that? They're seeing that reflection that God has got in your life, that inward appearance. Amen? Now, what we do is a reflection of who we are on the inside. Matthew says, therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Colossians says, and whatever you do, whether in work or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Amen? Everything that you do it as unto God, and people are going to look and say, He's putting on a good appearance. He's not fake. He's real. He's doing what needs to be done. In James, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. See, we need to know that people are being deceived because they're not getting the truth of the Word of God. They're looking at the outward things instead of the inward things. But when we start looking at the inward things personally, when we let God come and deal with us personally, it will not deceive us, but it will encourage us and strengthen us in everything that we do. It says, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. How many of you have done that? I mean, we all can do that. You know, I hate it sometimes when, even if I preach, I'll go home and Janice will say it was good today, or somebody else will say it was good, or somebody will come and ask me, well, what did you preach on? And it's like, I preached, and I forgot what I did. I forgot what I said. Or someone else may preach, and you ask somebody, well, I wasn't there, what did they preach on? I can't remember. I know it was about Jesus. I know it was things out of the Bible. But I'm going to put something up on the screen right here, or while he is. And by the way, he's a policeman, and he knows how fast this car goes. Not that he rode in it, but I told him. But I got this truck right here that I built. That truck is built out of 7 different vehicles, really 8, because the grill came out of another one. But it's got a bulldozer Caterpillar gas tank sitting in the back of it. It's got a tailgate that's been well used. It's got about 14 bullet holes in that tailgate. It's got dents and scratches all over it. It doesn't even have door glasses or vent glasses. And it's got lots of pieces that I put on there. And it's ugly. And a lot of people see it and they say, what in the world are you driving that old ragtag truck around for? And I say, well, it's really not a ragtag truck. It just kind of looks like that. But underneath that truck right there. And by the way, my son Todd is here today, and he helped me build this truck and the next vehicle I'll show you, and I'm honored to have him do that. It was a great thing for both of us to do. But if you look at the inside of this truck, the floor is diamond-plated, shiny, bright aluminum with some pine straw. The inside has got a really nice seat, and I made everything in there. I redid all the dash and everything. And it's got a 302 motor in it with about 400 horsepower, maybe 350, 400 horsepower. It's got a Chrysler 5th Avenue front end in it with torsion bars, disc brakes, power steering, power brakes, 4-speed automatic. It's got all the amenities that your car has probably got that you drove here today. That thing drives like a Cadillac, a Chrysler. It drives like a Chrysler. It's got power. It does everything that it's supposed to do. It's just a vehicle. It just looks bad on the outside. But everything inside of that car is brand new. That car is probably as safe as any car around. It don't have airbags, so when we go, I get Janice to hold a beach ball, and I got a volleyball. That's our airbags. But that's what we use sometimes, and we enjoy it. We take it to places, and everybody. I went to a car show the other day, and they had 3 trucks like this. One of them was a $60,000 truck that had been fixed up. Beautiful paint job. A guy, I helped him walk him through it, and he did a great job on building it. Another one was a $40,000 one, and mine's sitting over there by itself looking like that. But you know where everybody was at looking? They were looking at that truck. And the 2 guys with the high-dollar trucks were saying, I wish you'd go move that thing away from here. See, we brought our trucks up here for people to look at, and they're looking at yours. What's the deal with this? And then when women see it, they call it shabby chic. I said, one of the ladies came out of the Bible study, and she called. She said, it's shabby chic. I said, would you call my truck? She said, it's shabby chic. And she said, that's cool. And I said, I don't know what that means. And she said, well, you know how people buy furniture, and then they, brand new furniture, they paint it white, they distress it, sand it, blob stuff on it, and they call it what? Shabby chic. And they say that's what we like. We like that. But that's one of the vehicles that I built. And I built that truck just for this sermon right here. So we would look at things and say, you know what? If you look at it on the outside, it's not very much. But when you get in and you hit the switch, it goes. And it goes very well. I love to go to the store in. I mean, I like to. It's a rapid trash hauler, I call it. But that's what it's all about. Then they got another one that's fixing to come up, and I built that one. And that's a $95,000 car I built for a friend of mine. And I did it for one reason, because he didn't know Jesus. And he asked me to build that, and I told him, no, I will not touch another car. I'm done. I had that piece of truck in the back. I was going to work on it. And he said, would you please build me a car? And I said, no. And I did that until I went to preach in Branson, Missouri, and his son called me and said, my dad had a heart attack, and would you come back and go see him? So I immediately left Branson. Janice and I drove all the way back to Baton Rouge. I went to his house, and I went in there, and I told him, I said, okay, buddy, it's time for me to tell you about the Lord. I like to slip and not did it. I said, but right now I'm not leaving until you know the way of salvation. And I led him to the Lord, and he had a black maid in there and a white maid in his house. And they were sitting in the back listening to what I was telling him, and me and him was in the den sitting on the couch. And I told him, I said, you need Jesus, and you need Jesus like right now. And he said, what do I need to do? And I told him. And I could hear the girls in the back, especially the black girl. I mean, she was a Holy Ghost-filled girl. She said, hallelujah, hallelujah. And she's sitting there, she's ready, and then I heard the other girl chime in. And I said, by the way, y'all come on up here and join us. So we all got up there, and he just slid off the couch on his knees and accepted Christ right there. It was worth it. I used to ride motorcycles with him 50 years ago and have not seen him all these times. And then he shows up and wants me to do this. And I did it. And I did it for a reason, because I wanted to show him. I said, I'll help you build the car, but I'm not going to do it. I said, because the joy of building the car is building and say, I did that. And I said, if you'll come and help, then we'll do it. And he did. He came and he did as much as he could, but he's got Parkinson's disease real bad. His arm shakes and he can't talk but about 15 minutes and his voice goes away and he has to go home. But nevertheless, I let him stay as long as he could and went home. But I built that car for him. That car is capable. It's got a Coyote-powered 600 horsepower thing, weighs 2,000 pounds. It's capable of running over 200 miles an hour and getting there probably in less than a minute. I mean, this thing will go. I haven't done that. I'm not going to do that, and I will not do that because it's the captain of the police back there putting the pictures down. No, I got the captain of my salvation inside of me to keep me from doing that. But yet, no matter what either one of them looks like, and by the way, that was the hardest car I ever built in my life because it was a kit car and everything was supposed to go together. Nothing on that whole car fit. Nothing. I had my son refabricated everything on that car. It's probably got 40 hours just on doing the fenders and the bodywork and little things. It took 8 hours to put the windshield on and Janice. Because she's got a skinny arm and I had to stick it through a hole to go up in there and hold a nut for me to get the windshield on it. It was hard to build, but it's a beautiful car. And it goes fast and it looks good and it's worth a lot of money. But you know what? It doesn't matter about either one of them. Because they're just something to get you from point A to point B. And it doesn't matter about what they look like. It doesn't matter about the appearance. It matters is what is on the inside of each one of them. And I can turn that around and say, you know what? I've worked on cars for 27 years, and I've been at this church, October was 25 years. It was our 25th anniversary here. And I've worked on people almost as much as I have cars. And I have found that they both parallel almost the same. Except a car one day is going to a junkyard, people are going to go to heaven or hell. And it's up to me to see which way they're going to go. And if I can preach the gospel and get people saved, then I've done what God's called me to do. If I can stay here and I can counsel people and get them past problems in their life, then I've done what God wants me to do. And I'm trying to get people now, not these cars, because they're going to go one way or the other. People will too. But if I can get everybody to realize I'm here for one reason, two reasons is why God put us here. The first one is to praise and to glorify His name. Amen? The second one was to procreate, and that's to have children. Multiply and replenish the earth. That's the only two things that we're here for when you boil it all down to it. But the key thing is, where are we going to go when we leave? We've got to come to that place and say, let me search my own heart and see if God is controlling my life. If He's not, then things like that can be drawn to people. I mean, when you go, Janice and I went to Gonzales in that car one night, and we could not get past the traffic because they would pass you and they would slow down. And they would be in these vans and SUVs, and you could see people taking pictures of it driving down the interstate at 70 miles an hour. And I told her, I said, Bubba, you might as well just smile because you're going to be on YouTube somewhere or hanging on somebody's wall because people are taking pictures of this car. They're drawn to it. Not many people's drawn to my other truck, my little truck. Some people look at it and say, oh, I can't believe that idiot is driving that thing on the road. You know? But they just don't know it's got a purpose too. That thing right there might be shiny and sleek and it might look good. But my truck might be old, but I'm going to tell you what, it gets me from point A to point B just as good as that one does. I've had both of them at my house for 6 months and drove them and did stuff with them. They're both good vehicles. They're fun. But that does not matter. What matters is you. What matters is you. And I want to get the church to that place where we can look inside of ourselves and say, you know what? I can't judge others. I can't judge what's in their life. I can only judge what is inside of my life. And if my life is not producing the fruit that God gave me, then I need to make a change. I'm no different than these cars right here. Some people may like me, some people may not. But the key thing is I got to know that I'm on a journey and I'm going from point A to point B. And I want to do it, and I want to do it well. Amen? Y'all agree with me? That's what we got to come to. We cannot look at appearances of things and let that form our life. We got to look at the appearance of Jesus. And I want to share some things about Jesus' appearance. First of all, He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. We just celebrated His birthday, Christmas. That's what that's all about, is God with us. It's God wrapped in humanity that came to live and to show us how to live and how to serve and how to do everything that we do as Christians. It was prophesied He would come. He was born of a virgin, not many His age, because when Jesus was coming, Herod knew about it, and he had all the young men Jesus' age murdered, killed them, slaughtered them, all of thousands of them. So Jesus, that tells me that Jesus did not have a lot of friends His age around Him. He was basically a loner. He was young, and he didn't have a whole lot of people around him. Another thing, he worked as a carpenter. He was a Jew. He was probably dark-complected. He was strong, and I believe he was masculine. Because not only working with wood, he was a stone mason too. And that tells me that you work around people that work with their hands all the time, their fingers are bigger. My fingers probably shrunk down to about half the size they were when I quit doing cars. And now they're clean. When I was a mechanic, I worked on cars so long that every crack in my hands was filled with stained dirt looking. I mean, they were clean. You could wash them. I don't care what you did to them. It didn't come out. And when I was working the first month I was at the church, I looked one day and it's like, wow, my hands look clean. And then I noticed that my rings and stuff would begin to fall off because my fingers began to shrink. But that tells me that Jesus was a worker. And he was not one of those. The Bible even says, listen to this. Another thing, he looked pretty well common. Because the scripture said that he would be in the midst of a group and he would slip out of the group sometimes and nobody even missed him. Because he didn't look that much different than anybody else. He was common. I believe he was 100% man, but I also believe he was 100% God. But they knew that something was different about the insides of him because they were drawn to him. Even the widow with the issue of blood for 18 years came. And she knew that Jesus was coming down that road. And she looked and she saw him. And she ran and just touched the hem of his garment. And he said, "Who touched me?" And he knew who touched him. But he didn't let on because he wanted her to exercise her faith. And when she did, then he healed her. And she left because she knew something was different inside about him more than it was on the outside. Listen to what Isaiah says, 52. It says, "Just as many were marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Who has believed our report? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness." And that word comeliness literally means of no, not a handsome man. Not handsome. That's a Jewish term, that one word. And it says, "And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. That's a picture of Jesus. If you knew that the coming of the Son of Man was coming, and you saw that, you probably would not be attracted to Him. But when He got here, and He was born of a child, and that power of God inside of Him began to draw all men. Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to come to Me. Aren't you glad of that? How many of you were drawn by that, you know? When I heard the preaching of the cross, I was drawn to say, you know what? I realize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And I know that the one that was lifted up on that cross is the one that I can go to. And I'm going to Him because He will change not only the inside of me, but the outside of me too. Amen? Later on, I want you to listen to what Daniel saw. He said, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girt about with gold of upaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of the words like the voice of a multitude. That's what he began to see. That's my Jesus. I know He was rejected. I know He came as a lowly person, but I know one thing, He is the Son of God. And I know He came in great power and great love to change us. Another thing, when He spoke and He says, come and follow Me, people listened to it. It penetrated their very inner being. And He said, arise, people heard that. And when He said, be healed and be forgiven, they trusted Him and they knew that Jesus had done something on the inside of their lives. Oh, do we have a story that we can tell? Yes, every one of us. And I want to challenge you, church, this year. You get your story, what God has done in you. Let me read this last scripture. It says in Revelation, first in John, it says, your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom of and patience of Jesus Christ was on the island, is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he says, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. That's my Jesus. And that tells me that I need to do something. I need to be a witness. You need to be a witness. All of us need to come to that place and quit judging people. Quit looking at appearances and begin to look at people. See, I don't want you to look at these cars up here. The only reason I want you to look at them is to remember the difference there. But the key thing is to start getting the compassion and the love of God in you that you look at people the way Jesus looks at people. Because we're living in a lost, dying world. And a lot of us look like that pickup truck. Some of us have been around a long time. There's a lot of scars and tatters and paint's faded. We're leaking. We're drooping. We're driving up. I mean, we're losing hair. We do a lot of things. And some of you are real young. You got a whole life ahead of you. But one thing we need to do is every one of us need to look out around us and find somebody that looks like that truck. Or looks like that car. He's going to put those back up here in just a second. But looks like that car or looks like that truck and say, you know what? That could be my neighbor. And I would be the one to go tell them about Jesus. I can bring the good news to them and let God change that person on the inside. The only time we're ever supposed to look at anything and put any kind of judgment on it, He says you judge a tree by the fruit that it bears. And that doesn't mean you put your approval of, I've judged that person, they're no good, they're worthless. If you did that, you wouldn't have me here today. Because if you'd have saw me 40 years ago, you'd have said, that thing will never hit the pulpit at this church, ever. Y'all listen to me? And by the way, some of you were the same way. But you're here only by the grace of God. And if we take the grace of God and the truth of the Word and the fire of the Holy Ghost within inside of us, we will begin to find things like that in people. Not vehicles, but in people. And we can say, you know what? There's hope. That truck right there, it said just the cab, that black part you see, the top and the things, that was in a barn for 40 years. Nobody ever touched it. I found some doors off of another truck. I found a front end off of another truck. And it's ironic to where all of it turned out to be white. And when I get through with it, I'm going to have the other part of it looking like that. I can do a little faux painting and make it look like that. But nevertheless, I was able to do something with it. And I'm a mere man. If I'm a mere man and I can turn that into something that's useful, you think what God can do with people. And He's done it with me. He's done it with you. And I want to challenge you, church. Let's take the good news this year. Let's don't look at people and judge them by their appearance. Let's don't even compare ourselves to other people. You can't compare these two vehicles right here at all. They're different, but they're useful. One of them can go fast. It looks good. It'll draw a lot of people. The other one can take the trash out. I can go to Home Depot and get some boards. It's made for that. It's made for that. That's its giftings and callings. But the key thing is we need to look at them and say, you know what? They're either saved or they're lost. They either have God or they don't have God. And it might be my opportunity to go and to share with them. And I tell you what, you pull them on the side and you start talking with them and discipling them, and you can be the one to lead them to the Lord, and you can be the one to reap the fruit and watch God do a great thing in their lives. Amen? Y'all hear what I'm saying? So I want to challenge the church this year to begin to look at things different than you've ever looked. You know, every one of us has neighbors. We work with people that are lost. We work with people that are crazy, just absolutely. They don't know what to do. We work around people and are around people that are confused about life. They don't understand a lot of things, what's going on. A lot of people are basically hopeless right now, because there's been so much stuff going on. They've lost jobs, they've lost money, they've lost stuff, and they thought this world was going to see them into a great place. And it hasn't. This world can be very ruthless to things, to you or anybody else. But we got to come and we got to put our trust in God, the one that created us, the one that sustains us, the one that does not look at our outward man. He looks at the inward man and He says, I have a plan. And I have a purpose for that person, and I'm going to use them to glorify my name. And I'm going to use them to bring people to the kingdom of God. And if we will begin to do that, we will see some great things happen this year. We will say, you know what? God is good. You know, if you think you're good and you got a good Christmas gift this year, bless your heart. But I'm going to tell you what, nothing will ever bring you as much joy as if you had somebody that was lost and undone, an old raggedy truck that was your neighbor, and you told them about Jesus, and you brought them, and they're going to leave this place looking like that Cobra sports car. Are y'all getting with me today? I want everybody to close your eyes, and I want our stand up. We're fixing to end. If you really want God to do something in your life this year, and you really intend on doing it, I hope this message will challenge you, at least put a spark inside of you, to say, you know what? I need to start doing what the Word of God says, because the Word has already told us to go. That's another one of those thundering words that comes from Jesus' mouth when He says, go into all the world and teach and preach the Word of God. And I want to share with you today, I want you to come to that place, and if you really want God to do that in your life, I want you to lift your hands real high. Just one of them would be fine. And you really mean it. You really want to go do what God wants you to do. And you say, God, I really want to do this year. I really want to make it a part of my life. I'm going to exercise in the spirit realm, and I'm going to feed on Your Word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to study Your Word. I'm going to do the things that You've called me to do this year. And I promise You, Lord Jesus, I will do it. And if you got your hand up, I'm going to pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, You see every hand that's lifted up. You see every heart that's there. Lord, some of them that didn't even lift their hands, Lord, I know You're dealing with their heart. And Lord, I pray You'd bring all of us to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, You'd bring us all, Lord God, to the place that we would know You in Your fullness, Lord God, that we would begin to do Your Word. As we read Your Word, we will immediately step out and begin to do what Your Word says to do. And Father, we thank You. I thank You for every person, Lord God, that's lifted their hand, that are really serious about doing this year. And Lord, help us to never look at appearances of people, Lord. Help us to never judge people, Lord God, and put our own two bits into it, Lord God. But help us to look with eyes of compassion the way that You did. And everything that you saw, it was an opportunity to change something. And we thank you today, Lord God, that you've changed our lives. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to pray this prayer right now. I want us all to pray this. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today and I surrender my life to you. I repent of my sins and I turn from them and I turn to you that you will change my life. You will change the appearance of my heart. You will make me your child. And I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Well, go and be blessed and get you a Cobra or a pickup truck. If you don't have one, I got one for sale there. I'm joking with you. But go do something for Jesus this year. Amen. Happy New Year to you. Yes.